The top story by community score today, 868 points, 278 comments, comes from Quantum Magazine, and it genuinely deserves that attention. Researchers have, for the first time, constructed a cell from scratch that grows and divides. Not a modified cell, not a cell with a few synthetic parts inserted. A cell assembled from non-living chemical components that then exhibits the two behaviors we most associate with life, growth and division.
Let's set the context for why this lands so hard. Biology has had two major categories of achievement with synthetic cells. The first was inserting synthetic genomes into existing bacterial shells. Craig Venter's team did that back in 2010. The second was building minimal genomes, stripping cells down to the fewest genes needed for life. Both of those approaches still used a pre-existing cellular chassis. What happened here is categorically different. The researchers built the physical structure, the membrane, the internal machinery, and then got it to replicate. That's the line nobody had crossed before July 2026.
The implications branch in multiple directions simultaneously. For basic science, this is experimental evidence bearing on one of the oldest questions in biology. What is the minimum physical and chemical requirement for life? For medicine, the ability to build cells with custom specifications opens paths to drug delivery systems that are genuinely programmable at a biological level. For biosecurity and ethics, it raises questions that regulatory frameworks are not currently equipped to handle.
The HN comment thread is fascinating because it splits pretty cleanly between people who see this primarily as a scientific milestone and people who are immediately thinking about dual-use implications. One commenter with a background in synthetic biology made the point that the hard part isn't building the first cell. It's the fact that the protocols will eventually become reproducible in less controlled environments. That's the long-tail concern that doesn't get enough policy attention.
There's also a philosophical undercurrent in the comments about what this does to vitalism. The intuition that life has some property beyond its chemistry. When you can assemble life from inert components, that intuition takes a real hit. Several commenters pushed back and said growth and division don't constitute life in the full sense, but the counterargument is, what else are you waiting for?
From a commercial standpoint, the biotech sector has been watching synthetic biology for decades with enormous investment appetite. Companies like Ginkgo Bioworks and a dozen others have been building toward programmable biology. This result, even as a proof of concept, will move capital. The gap between academic proof of concept and commercial application in synthetic biology has been compressing. The question isn't whether this gets funded aggressively. It's which labs and companies get there first with reproducible protocols.
And the regulatory dimension is genuinely open. The NIH framework for recombinant DNA work dates conceptually to Asilomar in 1975. The European framework under the Cartagena Protocol covers genetically modified organisms. Neither framework was designed to address a cell that has no biological parent, no lineage to trace, no organism to classify. This is going to require new legal and ethical categories, and the academic community is already having that conversation in the comments section of a Hacker News post, which tells you something about where these discussions actually happen first.